It's about to get Gabby AF. We about to get Gabby AF, Gabby AF. We about to get Gabby AF, Gabby AF. It's nothing less, cause you rocking with the best. Now we about to get Gabby AF. Hello and welcome to another episode of Gabby AF. We are so close to WrestleMania. We're about a week away, which is insane. So I had to bring in kind of the big guns. I had to bring in a boss man and a friend of mine who I really needed to talk to before we got into WrestleMania. So I have the new GM of SmackDown, Mr. Nick Aldis. Hello, sir. How are you today?
Hello, Gabby. It's always a pleasure. How are you?
I'm great. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I needed some English accent on my podcast. I think you're my first Englishman that I've had so far, so I'm excited.
I've been accused of my English accent eroding, which is definitely true at certain times. But I think people need to remember that I've been in the States now for, gosh, 14 years, crazy. 15, I guess, if you include 09 when I was sort of going back and forth. But yeah, so I mean, I'm sure there's some blending going on at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I do think I take people a little more serious when they have an accent. I think it makes you a little more official. So I think you got the edge on Pierce for that, I will say.
I think that I've certainly enjoyed the fact that an English accent, for some reason, to Americans portrays a much stronger sense of knowledge than perhaps is the reality.
Yeah,
and you know, there is definitely something authoritative about a British accent that seems to. They just seem to believe what you tell them.
Exactly.
So you know, faking it till you make it, which is a huge part of this business. It seems to lend itself well to that.
So, I'm sure when you're, breaking down the law on these guys too, that's why they listen to you so well, because of the accent, obviously. But
I think I'd like to think that that's a part of it, but I think that there's a lot more to it than that.
Of course. I'm sure
you would agree.
Yes, of course. Before we even start talking about that, how are you feeling? I know you had to come out and say you had a little bit of a bicep injury that everyone picked up on super quickly, but you still did your job. So how are you feeling?
Fine. Yeah, I mean, just frustrated more than anything. It was just a freak accident, and of course, I've been inundated with positive comments, from Twitter, and because wrestling fans, they just radiate positivity when it comes to things like this. And hey, you're not even wrestling right now, like, how'd you manage to get hurt? I've had one major surgery my whole career, and it was the other bicep, so fancy that. So yeah, just a freak thing. And Dr. Leclerc in Vanderbilt here in Nashville did a phenomenal job. He works on the Nashville Predators and all sorts of high profile athletes and stuff like that. He did a great job. I feel great. So
awesome.
Just on in a stupid splint cast thing for a little bit longer, and then hopefully I'll transition to a brace, kind of like the one that we've seen Punk wearing.
Yes.
I'll be switching into one of those, hopefully in time for WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, you'll be cool. You'll be all like cooled up with the brace.
Bionic man. Yeah, bionic arm.
Exactly. Yeah. But it didn't stop you from doing your job on SmackDown on Friday. And we had some pretty big news about, it's official that Jade Cargill will be making her first SmackDown appearance this week, actually.
The bag has been secured.
The bag is secured. What should we expect? Can you give us a little taste of it, or what can we expect from her on Friday?
Well, all I can say is that Jade has been absolutely itching to get started on the main roster. Obviously, I'm very glad that she's hung her hat on SmackDown with the blue brand. Not surprised,
right?
But certainly pleased that she made the right decision. But the other part I would mention, and certainly I don't want to, I can't make any predictions, and I'd like to think that everyone will be professional, but I know that there are quite a few ladies on our roster who might have some choice words for Jade, because they obviously feel like she's been getting a lot of attention.
Interesting.
And they realize that sometimes the best way to welcome someone to the bigs is to kind of show them what's in store for them if they're going to compete in the bigs. So I'm sure Jade has plenty to say, and I think the WWE Universe has been, you know, ever since the Royal Rumble especially, have been really waiting to embrace Jade as part of WWE, and I think that the best is very much yet to come with Ms. Cargill. So I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, yeah, I think she had one of the most anticipated, you know, debuts that I've kind of been looking forward to in a while. So that when she did come in Royal Rumble, everyone was like, holy shit. And she looked unreal when she did show up. Like,
yeah, I think I've said this before about Jade. Like in this business, we often talk about the look. And I don't know if there's anyone ever in history who has perhaps personified the look more than Jade Cargill. I think you'd be hard pressed to find anyone who was a more true sort of embodiment of that phrase. Like, you know, that's a head turner. Look, it's and what a time for Jade. And this is something that, you know, candidly, I can say that, you know, her and I have shared you know, conversations about this, and like I have with a few other people, where it's like we're in, obviously, not in the same way at all, but in similar sort of fashion, we're kind of just looking at it and going, man, what a time for us to be able to jump on this train. You know, I mean, what a time to be part of WWE. I know that people now, I think, because of social media and because of people's the access that people have to the past and to all the archives and the sort of the hunger to replicate like the biggest, the high points, the different eras, you know, of our industry. I think there is quite often a little bit of an impatience perhaps to sort of label stuff as like, this is the best era. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, I'll say this. I think everyone is entitled to their own era as far as like what their golden era was, right? If you grew up in the 80s, you know, Hulkamania, you know, the expansion and the cable kind of you know, globalization of sports entertainment, and then on to Attitude Era and the whole shift in wrestling, you know, led by Steve Austin and The Rock and DX and guys like that, and the NWO, you know, to give them credit too, that, you know, they really spearheaded a lot of that. But I think that I can certainly say I can't imagine there's a better time to be a WWE superstar than right now, because the obviously the money, you know,
right,
and the schedule, you know, because look, if you came along if you were on Hogan's train in the 80s, that was great, right? But you were probably away from your family 29 days out of every month, you know, and probably not too different in the Attitude Era either. And that's a major difference now, is that while WWE is more global than it's ever been, and there are definitely guys pounding the pavement like Cody and Seth and Gunther and a lot of guys down, you know, on that list who are killing it on live events and, you know, and delivering and, you know, going the extra mile for our fans at television shows and at live events. It's still the schedule now is, you know, just more, much more manageable and much more logical, you know, it's more sensible. Yeah. And so those of us, and look, I can't speak for everyone, but I've had plenty of conversations with guys like Randy Orton and Road Dogg and, you know, guys like that who I really look up to and admire, where it's just overflowing with gratitude to be part of this thing, you know, led by Triple H, and, you know, just this the amazing sort of momentum and run that we're experiencing, and we're really just in the beginning of it. You know, the sky's the limit. I've got some really big kind of predictions about where we go after the Netflix deal. Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be some innovations that will probably take place within WWE in the next year or 2 years will exponentially grow this this brand and this phenomena even more, you know, more globally than it's ever been.
Wow. I mean, everything you just said, I kind of have to react to, because it was a lot and it was so true, because I'm obviously very different than normal fans as well, because I'm not that era. I wasn't that historical fan that's looking at it right now and making comparisons, which I think is a great thing, because I watch it in a different perspective and a different set of eyes. So for me, my sixth year being a fan, WWE right now, I've never been more excited about a WrestleMania. And maybe I say that every year because the build is always so good, but you know, the amount of different superstars that you do have and that you do offer, it's not like, oh, there's only two people you care about, right? You're not going into right WrestleMania and there's only one match for you. Like, they're so, every single match so far, I'm emotionally invested. You know, they're hard hitting matches. They're going to be good matches. Like, think about the crossover, even from, you know, my generation of Logan Paul, who's someone that's bringing such different eyes to the product that would not have probably been there 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So he's also someone not very happy with you because you set up a triple threat match for him at WrestleMania.
Well, I hope he's a little happier that I'm wrapping Prime.
Oh, I honestly didn't even realize you were drinking Prime till right now.
But a nice, they sent me a lovely care package a couple of days ago. I'm very grateful. Look, Logan, he and I have been butting heads on SmackDown, and that's been a lot of fun. Long may it continue. But he's a phenomenon, because we've had a lot of celebrities, right? We've had a lot of quote outsiders, but no one's ever delivered like Logan Paul, period. You know, that's just the long and short of it. Bad Bunny's been incredible too, but for Logan to have embraced this industry, you know, and dived headfirst into it, you know, and really put in a lot of time, and shout out to Shane Helms for really being really being his sort of main coach, and you know, QBing a lot of his stuff. But yeah, to your point, like the those of us who are relatively new to the WWE universe, right? Those of us who are every week just trying to maximize our minutes on television to build our audience and you know, get familiarized with our fans. I hope that, you know, the younger guys in particular, hope they understand the opportunity that exists in front of them at this moment with The Rock and Logan Paul in particular, and others, but those two come to mind especially as like people who are bringing new eyeballs
right
every week. So if you're someone who is just looking to absolutely maximize your opportunity, like me, you know,
yeah,
the opportunity to rub up against anyone like that and to just make an impression on them, you know, this is money in the bank that's going to start acquiring interest, right, in next year and the year after that and the year after that, because the retention of those fans, they become your fans,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then somewhere down the road, somebody right now who is taking advantage of the new big tide coming in, right, like The Rock and people like Logan, one day it'll be their turn.
Right.
One day it'll be their turn to come in and bring this audience with them, and then allow somebody else to capture their imagination. You know, I think about like right now, like, you know, the opportunities that exist for LA Knight, like, you know, Austin Theory, you know, this is the guys who are sort of, who people are starting to really go, wow, this guy's mm-hmm. special, you know? And look, in a smaller extent, even me, where people are going like, man, I like this GM guy,
right?
You know, like this right. guy's, you know, like he's got a bit of something to him, and I'm just going like, hey, I got 1 minute, cool. I'll be the best minute I can do. I'll be the best minute I can give you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful to have it, because you know, the roster is probably as stacked as it has ever been You know, I feel like a few years ago, people were probably questioning and maybe even, dare I say, criticizing the idea of WrestleMania being two nights, because it was there was some opinion, and I dare say I may have even felt this way about it a little bit, where it was like, does it dilute some of the specialness of WrestleMania if it's two nights? You know, it's hard to get to sort of replicate the same feeling two nights in a row. Now it's like, how else could you do it? How else could you satisfy all those money matches and the sheer scale and spectacle of this WrestleMania card without it being two nights?
Right.
You know, that's a testament to like the embarrassment of riches that we have right now as far as the talent roster. And not just, I would say this too, and I'm sorry, I know I keep giving you these like soliloquies, but
no, I love it.
I think that it, you know, it's not just the team as far as the talent roster, but like this team that exists at WWE now, management, talent, production, creative, it's a dynasty. Like, it is an absolute dynasty. Like, for, you know, all the way through, it's like, I had this conversation with Michael Hayes a couple of weeks ago, who, by the way, is, I don't want to say an unsung hero, because people have, without question, you know, given him his flowers over the years, but one of the most valuable assets that this company currently has, like, I'm not exaggerating. And he asked me, you know, cause he's so engaged with the whole product, the whole company. And he asked me, like, how do you feel like coming into all this and like, you know, looking at us? And I said, Michael, I'm, you know, I was sitting in the room today with you, Hunter, The Rock,
yeah,
Paul Heyman, you know, like, I love the fact that I'm the dumbest guy in the room, right? Like, right. I've always been one of those people that feels like if you're the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong room. And, you know, for me to be able to just sit there, mouth shut, ears open, right? And just be like, okay, you know, this, like, absorbing all this through osmosis, right? And just being part of the process and understanding, like, this is, you know, this is how we make magic. And like, this is the bigs, you know, it doesn't get bigger. And so for me, it's such a blessing and such an opportunity. And I just, you know, I just look at it as, man, you can look at the way things pan out for you, right, in your career. And it's certainly obviously been suggested with me a few times, like, oh, you know, are you disappointed about maybe, you know, that you didn't come in this way, or didn't come in as a wrestler, or didn't come in like this, or didn't come in like that. And you know, for me, I try to look at things as, you know, instead of things happening to you, they happen for you. And what I'm looking at is like, yeah, the opportunity that has been extended to me to, you know, utilize my existing knowledge and expertise, right, limited that they may be, and to build on them, and then, you know, and then have the opportunity to sort of contribute to this juggernaut, like, going forward. And obviously, on a very human level, like, what that represents to my family, you know, it's massive.
Guys, we have a problem. Recent studies have shown that testosterone levels are falling in American men. Low T is linked to depression, low sex drive, and weight gain, so it's important to stay on top of it. You could go to a TRT clinic, but it's expensive, awkward, and in most cases, not necessary. You just need to stimulate your body's own natural testosterone production. It's time to check out the ultimate test stack at legacysubs.com. The majority of testosterone release occurs while you sleep, which is why the ultimate test stack features their best-selling sleep aid recovery PM. Test X9 stimulates testosterone, T-Assist inhibits estrogen, and Recovery PM gives you the best night's sleep you've ever had. You're going to feel like a new man after trying the ultimate test stack for 30 days. If you don't believe me, check out all the verified 5-star reviews on Top Rated. Legacy Sports Nutrition is founded by three-time world champion and SmackDown general manager, Mr. Nick Aldis, and 11-time women's champion and future Hall of Famer, Mickie James. And they personally use these products themselves. If you need more assurance, they're NSF-certified, third-party lab-tested, and made in the USA in an FDA-inspected facility. And because you listen to this show, you can save 10% off your order at LegacySupps.com now by using Gabby at checkout. That's G-A-B-B-Y. That's LegacySupps.com. LegacySupps.com. It's time to level up with Legacy.
It's so amazing to hear you say how, like, you're, you know, soaking in this knowledge from people, because to me, you're such a veteran in the industry. You were one of the first pro wrestlers I ever met, actually, when I was working, which is crazy. And to see where you are now and to see how much you've accomplished, like, you are someone where I'm like, oh, Nick, yeah, Nick knows what he's doing. That's a veteran. That's like that guy who, if I was starting wrestling or getting into this business, I would come to you for advice. So it's so amazing that you sit back and you're like, well, now I'm here and I'm still going to keep learning from these kinds of people in the room with me, because I'm not going to take advantage of the fact that I have these minds and these people that have been doing it even longer or know different kinds of things than me, because that's like a lost thing. I do feel like a little bit is people sometimes thinking they know everything and they don't need to ask questions. And I just think that's something that should come back. So it's super refreshing to hear you say that.
And you have to be smart enough to know how dumb you are.
Right.
I like to think that that's a skill that I've developed, particularly over the last couple of years, you know, and particularly coming into WWE, right? I could reference a match, like some headline match, you know, when I'm sitting here having a drink with Michael, and I can reference a match and he can be like, yeah, I produced that. I'm like, of course you did.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it, because, you know, and then, like, getting the opportunity to sit in a room with Hunter every week and watch him digest and process everybody's ideas, and to have a voice,
right?
To be like, what do you think? And for me, look, me, you know,
yeah,
like, you know, okay, well, how about this, right? Like, and just the opportunity to have those, you know, to have those interactions, yeah, it's. If you stick around long enough, you figure out how little you really know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like the really fun place to be, where you sort of go like, okay, I got this, you know, to a degree, but then there's like a whole new level of getting it,
right?
You know? Right. And so that's sort of where I'm at, and I think that. I don't know if this was a calculated thing on Hunter's part or not, but I definitely think that there is that some of the reason that I think we're, you know, the company is firing on all cylinders so much is because there is a real breadth of experience. It's not, and I mean this in a sense of like, behind the scenes, you know, there's a lot of TNA fingerprints,
right?
And I think that lends itself well sometimes, because, like, for me, I developed a lot of my skill set by working with limited resources, particularly with the NWA, right? Like, how could I make the most out of this thing but I don't have this huge team of people. I don't have the ability to go, okay, yeah, send this to that department and they'll do this and that with it, and then we'll produce this thing and then we'll shoot, you know, we can go to this, you know, location and shoot all this. It's like, no, what we've got to figure out how to like bootstrap this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Raw was in Chicago last night, and right. Cody referenced like, oh, Chicago's been very good to me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a direct, that, you know, that's what, 6 years now? Like, that's 6 year sort of timeline back to what he and I were able to accomplish there. Right. And it's like, yeah, that's, you know, there's value in having people all around your orbit who have been able to you know, squeeze as much juice out of every opportunity possible, right? Like, it's obviously you need a lot of people who are familiar with the WWE way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need people who know exactly how to sort of maximize that system. Like, for me, I'm still like figuring out, oh, we have a person for that, you know, like,
right.
You know, because my instinct is still to sort of just kind of figure it out. And then it's like, no, there's a guy for that. You can just ask them, you know, like, yeah. And they'll do it. Right? And so,
that's fine.
But at the same time, having all those different guys, like, you know, Abyss is back there. Bobby Roode is back there. Shane Helms is back there. Petey Williams is back there. Daivari is back there. Right. Like,
right.
And we're all guys who have accomplished things at all sorts of different levels of resources. So we know how to sort of, okay, we know how to handle a crisis. We know how to, mm-hmm. you know, sort of make the most out of something when it falls in our lap. We know how to make the most out of something, even if it doesn't seem like very much, you know, like right. All those sorts of things. And those are all the skills that we can, you know, that we can use to make the best show possible. And then you plug that into this, you know, this energy source, right? And this incredible amount of resources and the, you know, and the revenue that the company's doing and everything. And it's just like, you know, I know it's cliche, but I mean, it's, you know, sky's the limit.
It's so amazing to hear that. Like, I completely understand what you're saying, where it's like, you've done it all yourself before. So now you do have people that can help you in those areas, but you're like, oh, I'll just do it. Cause like, I know how to do it. And they're like, no, you don't have to. And it's like, oh, okay. But I'm sure why you're so successful in what you're doing is because you've had to do all of that stuff before. So you get it. And that's why I think people are liking you as much as they do. And I think that's why you're doing as good of a job as you're doing, because you've had to kind of go through it to get to this point now. And you mentioned Cody, obviously, and what you guys did like 6 years ago. I was going to bring that up because I think it's monumental. Obviously, everything going on with Cody and Rock just beat the shit out of Cody on Raw last night, bled everywhere. But, you know, kind of talk. And then Cody was also on SmackDown and you guys had a little chat. So talk about kind of that, like the evolution of, you know, you and Cody are now heading into WrestleMania in these huge roles that you both have after, you know, just 6 years ago main eventing at in Chicago. So, you know, kind of talk about that a little bit and how far you guys have come.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously we have different paths, and
right.
I think that obviously, look, when Cody and I locked up, you know, in Chicago in 2018, you know, there was a very big gap in terms of status at that point, and obviously that is still the case, and I'm not ashamed to say that. For me, you know, that night it was, you know, we had done, I guess, I think about 3 or 4 months worth of build to get to that. And people who were there still talk about it, and people who saw it still talk about it. People will still discover it now. And again, that's the real beauty of WWE, right? Is that every day you get fans who they find it and they've never seen it before.
Right.
And then they suddenly go, wait, the GM guy, like, oh my God, like, whoa, yeah. You know, like, oh my, I just watched that match. Like, what? That was amazing. You know? So, you know, you're still benefiting from it. But I think that even though obviously that we're in different positions, you know, but I often, again, looking at the positives of things, I sort of like, I called up here asking for one job and they gave me two, you know, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then Cody is, you know, literally in the spot that everybody in the industry wants, right? Like,
yeah.
that's the spot that everybody wants. And so for him to be there, and he's been a great help to me, as far as I know that he was a positive, you know, advocate for me and influence right before I came.
Mm-hmm.
And since, and you know, for me to applaud his success and for him to, you know, be happy for me to, you know, find, like, get an opportunity, you know, that's a nice thing for us to reflect on. And I think we look back at that day and go, well, I'm just glad that after, you know, with everything that we did, for that one night in Chicago, it's like we've both been able to sort of reap the benefits, you know, in different ways, but we've both, like, my job on that night was to ascend to his level, right? Was to make sure that people didn't just look at that night as a sort of coronation, because then it would have been kind of flat, right? Mm-hmm. Like they had to. So that was up to me. That was up to me to present a formidable obstacle where people really weren't sure whether it would go the way that they thought it would go. And I felt like we accomplished that. I think the fans, you know, I think the reaction in the building that night sort of confirmed that. So, and I, you know, and so off the back of that, it's like, yeah, I was able to build a whole sort of brand for myself off of that. And he was able to enhance the brand that he had already started building. And now he's taken that, you know, to the highest height he can take it. And maybe finally he reaches the top of the mountain at WrestleMania. And I sit in a position where I have the opportunity to help shape the industry, you know, for the next decade, right, or more. So I mean, it's, you know, we you know, cream rises to the top.
I just got chills when you said you're going to shape the industry for the next decade, because you did just get started, which is crazy, because I feel like you've been here for so long because of the impact you've already made. But I'm told I have to wrap it up because I know you're a busy man. You got a lot to do and SmackDown's coming up. So I'm sure you have a lot of moves to make and a lot of people to either piss off or make very happy for this week. So just kind of.
Okay, after what happened on Raw.
Uh-huh.
Boy. I'm thinking, like, do we need extra security? Do we need to call the cops? You know, like, you know, SmackDown this Friday, Mohegan Sun. It's going to be a wild one.
And in the rain, so dramatic. You know what I mean? It was like a cinematic scene, seeing all that happen in Chicago.
Well, you know, the Rock's, you know, he knows a thing or two about cinema.
A little bit, you know.
He dabbled in it.
So my final question is, in this, you know, in this bidding war, in this kind of fun competition between you and Adam Pearce now at this point, right? Because it's fun and that's why people love it. How do you put up the SmackDown roster versus the Raw roster at this time right now? Are you winning? Is it too soon to tell, or is it kind of, it's over and you're walking away with it?
This is a cliche answer, but obviously my personal assignment is to do the absolute best I can for the blue brand, right? And to make SmackDown as formidable as possible. And Adam's assignment is the same for Monday Night Raw. You know, he has certain things on his side, right? He's got a 3-hour show. You know, we have a 2-hour show. He has the longest running, you know, the flagship brand, right? But we have I'd like to think the number one show in pro wrestling sports entertainment right now, you know, and we're on Fox. And, you know, the guy who coined the phrase SmackDown, you know, happens to be back and, you know, making his mark in the biggest way maybe ever. And then look, for us as GMs, yeah, we have to make sure that we're looking at making the biggest money matchups we can. But for us, as far as like the competition over the free agents, that's a long-term investment game, you know, like for me to secure Bron Breakker and Jade Cargill, those are my, you know, those were to me, they were top of the list. And I made sure that, you know, that they knew where their bread was buttered. That's with the blue brand. But he got Punk, he got Andrade,
that's true.
You know, and he's like, And there will be times where, even though, yes, like we're looking at it as far as like, okay, these are the assets that we want for our brand to be able to sustain, you know, our performance throughout the course of a year, 2 years, 3 years. We also know that there are times where we're going to have to come together and make matchups, you know, that feature one from his brand and one from mine, you know, and ultimately, it's all about box office. And I don't think anyone can deny that from a box office point of view, this is the strongest that WWE has ever been. And for me to play a small part of that as the head of the blue brand, that's pretty cool.
I agree. And I think the talent's only getting better. Like the younger talent that you guys are keeping your eyes on to kind of bid against too. It's just the pool's big.
Absolutely. The snowball effect is very, you know, it's very real when it comes to talent, right? Like a rising tide lifts all ships and all that, mm-hmm. because somebody like Roman goes out and, you know, and can hold an audience for 15, 20 minutes. Right. And then someone else goes, well, I have to be able to do that. And now like, look at Drew, for example, like Drew right. McIntyre is like in a time where it could be very easy to fade into the background with all these stars.
Yep.
Like Drew McIntyre went, oh, hold up. Like I'm going to, you know, actually you're all going to be talking about me.
Right.
Right. And then LA Knight goes, oh, wait, hold the phone. Cause like every time I come out, the roof blows up a place and yep. I'm, you know, and again, look on a small level that's what I'm looking at is like, I want to make sure that my 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it may be, I want to make sure that, you know, when that's done, people are going like, oh, I like that guy.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, you have no choice but to be that way. That's the level that we're operating at here at WWE, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're gonna make it here, like you got to come ready to deliver, like every single week, and you got to come with a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, and mm-hmm. they've all got to be like world class level.
You gotta see if you sink or swim. Throw it in the deep end. Are you gonna sink? You're gonna swim. That's really what it is at the end of the day. But
yeah, people expect a certain standard at WWE, and you know you have to deliver it if you're going to make it.
No truer words. And SmackDown delivers a certain kind of standard that you're going to make sure that they meet every single week. That's why you're as good
Look, I think you can say, look, have you seen the show?
I watch every week.
I started on television, I think in October.
I think so.
So we're what? We're less than what are we? What are we in now? March. Yeah.
6 months. Yeah.
6 months. Been a hell of a 6 months.
It's been pretty good. I think you kind of changed the game. And by the way, you're making Pierce better, in my opinion, because now I'm more interested in how he's going to react because you're pushing.
Glad that somebody finally said it. Wow.
Listen, I'm just saying.
I've always said that you were observant, Gabby. That's the thing. I've always said that you were very smart, very observant.
Wow, Nick, I really, really appreciate that. And said with your accent too, it means way more to me. So like, listen, I'm Team Nick Aldis all the way when it comes to SmackDown or Raw, but you know, don't tell anyone. That. But I'm excited for WrestleMania. We're about a week away and hopefully I get to see you. I'm excited for your first WrestleMania with WWE, which is amazing too. I'm sure you're hyped to get there and you know, we'll see you in your little brace and you'll be all right. But I think it's going to be
bionic,
one of the best.
The Bionic GM.
The Bionic GM and still doing it and still crushing it. So imagine, you know, if that didn't happen and you were
saying, hey, this is working just fine, Gabs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know. I love your little breaking news is like that you do when you cut your little videos and just throw them up for SmackDown. Like, I just think I love seeing that. Like, you were like, oh, I'm hurt. I'm in my hotel room, but this is what's going on. And I'm like,
yeah, we're in a multi platform world, right? The WWE Universe, you know, reaches people across the globe, you know, on screens of all sizes and
right.
You know, the conversation never stops.
Never. And once it does, it's not a good thing. So we got to keep it going basically. But thank you so much for your time today, Nick. I know you're a busy guy. I could talk to you for hours, but I know you probably have better things to do. So I appreciate you coming on. This was awesome. I really, really enjoyed speaking with you.
Thank you, Gabby. Appreciate you.
I'm excited for SmackDown this Friday. I'm excited for WrestleMania next week. And for all of you listening, thank you so, so much. And we'll have another great show for you next week. Until then, LYMNB, love you most, no backs. It's nothing less because you rocking with the best. Now we about to get Gabby.